The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for Everything You Need to Know, our weekly visit. Kip Kiefer coming to you from the most exciting city in the world, Las Vegas. Have been here for the last few days, and I'm going to recount some of those experiences because for the first time since 1936, so do a little counting backwards, that's almost 90 years, there was a tropical storm that hit the West Coast right around Southern California. And it's not a very long jump from there to, of course, this thriving metropolis of Las Vegas. And I'm going to tell you some of my impressions of being here for that very interesting experience and how there's a lot of people in the climate change cult who are very disappointed today that half the West Coast wasn't wiped out. But we'll get to that here in just a minute. Again, I want to welcome you in. I'm always pleased to come to you every week with everything you need to know. And we've got some things here. I mentioned the storm out in the Pacific, which again is a rarity in terms of it making landfall anywhere on the United States, even the island of Hawaii. And don't be misled by media reports, because they got all revved up about a week and a half ago when, as the storm passed 400 miles south of Hawaii in the Pacific, the storm did not hit Hawaii, none of the islands. The band winds that accompany all these storms can kick up to an extreme degree. And the 80-mile-an-hour winds that came up upon Maui caused a tremendous amount of damage. But the reason for that was dry conditions, drought conditions that are pretty typical this time of year, are exacerbated by the fact that Hawaii, like a lot of other areas that are experiencing terrible wildfires, have gotten away completely from making those areas less apt to catch on fire. So there were already wildfires burning on the island of Maui before the outer bands of the hurricane winds came in with some ferocity, 80 miles an hour. Now, high winds in Hawaii is not unusual. You certainly do get gusts that kick up considerably, but 80 miles an hour is high for any place. And of course, that's the reported, and I would imagine that's the peak winds. But the bottom line is, with wildfires already burning on areas that had grassland that should have been cleared, but is not, because of a whole litany of environmental excuses. They probably have some kind of beetle that they're concerned with extinction, or this natural kind of let the growth evolve. Whatever reason, they have the same problem in California. They will the environmentalists stand in the way of clearing dead trees and other vulnerable brush that can ignite, and you see what happens there. In the Canadian situation, the same thing. And people make mistakes with campfires and the like. Lightning is a part of it. But when the conditions are primed for these kind of fires to break out, it's always a difficult situation. So not unusual for that to happen in Hawaii. But what is unusual is for those to be pushed along by 80 mile per hour, up to 80 mile an hour per hour winds. And that's what happened in this terrible tragedy on Maui. The flames swept across the island. There's 111 confirmed dead. There's still 1,000 people unaccounted for. So you got to just brace for the worst, because this was a literally fast-moving inferno, and the Hawaiian authorities did not respond with any kind of warning once it started. They have very effective siren system for tsunami warnings, but now have said they didn't activate those sirens to alert people of the impending danger because it may have, quote, caused confusion, unquote. Well, there was no confusion when you were on in your backyard and heard this roaring inferno coming your way, moving at a pace that you couldn't escape. And it's just a horrifying situation to even think about. I can't imagine a worse scenario than being confronted with literally running for your life and fruitlessly doing so when something's moving that fast. As we told you last week, a lot of people headed down toward the beach and dove in the ocean in an attempt to escape the onslaught, and some lingered there for hours. So the bottom line is, it was a terrible thing. It was, of course, immediately chalked up to, well, here we are. Here's the instability of our entire planet. And isn't it funny? It's not a man-made situation. This is America's fault. This is because we live so high on the hog and we are such abusers with all of our carbon footprints, completely ruining the atmosphere and creating all of these problems. There's no implication, no finger ever pointed at China and India, the two by far leading polluters. China has just recently opened 12 new coal factories, coal plants, to manufacture coal to fuel their economy and their power needs. Coal, of course, here is the second worst four-letter word you can possibly utter. It's been basically completely shut down by this administration of marionettes who are dancing to whatever tune the far left plays. And you know, the implications that human beings who have been here in this particular century are somehow responsible for what's happening in weather patterns and climate patterns, I've told you before, is absolutely ridiculous. It is the ultimate scare tactic for these people that dream about this one globalist world with one great system of government and one religion, which is the government itself. This climate change is the ideal opportunity for them to sell this narrative and completely just basically disassemble the structure in this country, which is the most successful, prosperous, strongest, greatest example of any kind of civilization in the history of mankind. And so much of the rest of the world and so many of the people here that have been indoctrinated to all of this nonsense have bought it hook, line, and sinker. And it's just a tragic thing to see. The thought that if you go out and spend $70,000 and charge your electric car every day, that's going to somehow be a turning point and everything's going to stabilize. Or if you have to change your water heater or your electric stove, if you're a pizza place in New York, you've got to get rid of your wood-burning stove. I mean, all of these things are just so ridiculous. It's not even a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. If the planet is evolving, the planet is doing the evolving, not the blip on the radar that human beings are. And anybody who really sits down and looks at it from a common sense perspective would tell you that. So we basically talked about what happened in Hawaii. How about our president, Joe Biden, taking the time? What a grand gesture on his part, flying from his second vacation in a month, this time a 10-day stay at Lake Tahoe at a friend, a big activist, supporter, financier for the Democrat Party. He actually took a half a day to fly from Tahoe to Hawaii, to Maui on Air Force One. And made a cursory walk around, had the concerned look on his face, but then made remarks that are so absolutely inappropriate, but it's just right up the alley of this guy and how ill-equipped he is mentally, physically, emotionally, and integrity-wise for this job. He immediately launched into this ridiculous talk to tell these people who had just experienced hell on earth, fleeing for their lives and seeing everything they own completely incinerated. He tried to relate a personal experience, which he always does. We told you a couple weeks ago how he was telling these Gold Star families whose the remains of their children and brothers and sisters were being brought back to the Air Force Base after the terrible suicide bombing that was a complete drop of the ball by our military in Afghanistan, and how Biden was telling them that he knows exactly how they feel because his son came home in a flag-draped coffin, which is total BS. Bo Biden was the Attorney General of Delaware, developed a brain tumor, and died in a Boston hospital. He did not come home in a box. He did not come home with an American flag draped over his coffin. Now the White House has quickly scrambled because five other sound bites from speeches in the last couple of years were selling that same story. And it makes you wonder, and I mentioned this last week, is he just delusional and really believes that? Or is he just lying through his teeth to make himself a sympathetic figure and to somehow be relating to these people when the one lady who lost her daughter in that explosion said, "It made me physically ill. I started shaking because I knew Bo Biden did not die in Iraq and did not come home in a flag-draped coffin." But that's what he does. And again, here he stands in Hawaii during his five-hour visit, and he makes this remarks that he knows exactly how they feel because 15 years ago, the Bidens had to deal with a serious kitchen fire. So I imagine Joe or Dr. Jill had some kind of mishap with some grease or something, and Joe Biden said, and you know, it was very hard and very emotional. We lost one of our cats and my prized possession, my 67 Corvette, was damaged. Now, those remarks are not resonating very positively with people in Hawaii, again, who lost loved ones, lost everything they owned, and are just in a decimated position of square one. And to date, this has been about 10 days later, Biden announced some kind of aid package, but they have not seen very much support on the ground. And these are the desperate hours when you really need all the resources that can be mustered. Hawaii is so disorganized and the federal government is being no help. These people are just literally pleading for assistance. And so far, it's been very sluggish, with the exception of our empathetic president showing up there and relating the horrifying details of his kitchen fire, which records indicate was put out in about 12 minutes. Hardly a comparable experience, but this is how this guy rolls. And this is another reason why he is so ill-equipped to be president, because one of the biggest roles of a president is to go where things have happened and, you know, really get down on the level with the people, not relate your experiences, not try to compare yourself. It's not about you, Joe. And it's just sickening that this pattern continues. Remember the train derailment last year in East Palestine, Ohio, where the toxic chemicals were released and it was just a desperate situation. Here we are. I think that happened in April. Here we are. Maybe it was even before that, but it was in sort of the beginning part of the year. He has never gone to Palestine, never has met with the people that are concerned that their water and ground are compromised and that these just everlasting remnants of that terrible chemical spill in their town is going to render future terrible disease and other maladies that we can't even imagine. He never even bothered to stop by there, which is just a terrible thing. But again, this guy is either a liar or totally delusional, and either one, I mean, take your pick. But as president of the United States, I don't think that's a good situation. So covering Hawaii, it was interesting here to arrive for my grandson's birthday party on Sunday, and there was just basically, I won't call it panic, but there were a lot of people really concerned, really watching, because they've seen images of hurricanes, and the media, especially out here on the West Coast, played this up like it was going to be this dramatic event with all kinds of implications of danger and destruction. The LA media guys were already standing in the street an hour before the tropical storm. It was not a hurricane again. Don't let anybody tell you it was, because it had downgraded to a tropical storm by the time it reached the coast of California. And they were out there in their foul weather gear, getting ready to hold on to telephone poles like the guys you see in real hurricanes in Florida and on the East Coast. They were all geared up to tell you that here it is. This is what we've been telling you is going to happen. Here's climate change, as the mayor of New York says, quote, in action, unquote. So they were all geared up for this big cataclysm to hit LA and here in Las Vegas. Had it pinpointed around the 7 o'clock hour Sunday night. It was supposed to move through. It drizzled all day. The temperature in Las Vegas on Sunday, August the 20th, which averages over 100 degrees for the last 10 or 12 years, and even going back most of the years before that, the temperature at 7 o'clock when the big hurricane was supposed to hit Las Vegas was 71 degrees. It was literally almost 40 degrees cooler than the average temperature on this date annually. And it was absolutely delightful. We had a big party. Most of it was outside in a tiny drizzle in beautiful conditions. It did rain overnight on Sunday, but not to the degree of doing any flooding. And usually any kind of storm or shower of any size yields flooding here, because their streets and sewer systems are just not equipped to handle it. But there was no sign of that. I had an early meeting on Monday. It was a beautiful blue sky, sunny day. So the big climate change prompted weather catastrophe on the West Coast was a big bust. And there's some spoof videos out now. One LA guy out there in his rain hat, his raincoat, you know, before the big storm was supposed to hit LA, standing like on Sunset Boulevard, was bracing for the storm, just like something out of the Weather Channel, doing his best Jim Cantore imitation. And there's a spoof video making fun of that, where he's standing there and somebody runs up behind him with a Dixie cup and pours about a half of a, you know, ounce of water on it, on his plastic head or covered head. And, you know, it's captioned something like, you know, the great hurricane of 2023 in L.A. So it was a big nothing. It didn't amount to anything. By the time the storm hit landfall, it quickly dissipated. And the eager anticipation of the climate cult to jump up and down and say, see, all this aberrant thing, all these terrible things are happening. What happened in Hawaii is absolutely horrifying, but it has nothing to do with climate change. It has nothing to do with what Americans are doing to the environment and our planet. And it's unbelievable to me that Americans can't wake up, that are actually buying this rotten banana, and realize that there's no one pressuring China or India or other world powers that are producing a tremendous amount of carbon emissions, where America's output of those has dramatically dropped over the last few years. And if America complies, like all the world seems to be demanding, and so many of our own citizens and certainly corrupt politicians who are having their pockets filled with money from all of these entities that want to convert to all of these new products most of the raw materials coming from China, by the way, from coal-powered plants, as I mentioned before. The absurdity of the whole situation is something that everybody needs to step back and think about. Don't just buy what they're selling because it's garbage. That's how I wanted to start. Now, I want to shift to a great feel-good story I heard out here, and I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to run through it. There was a, and of course, this city in Las Vegas is absolutely booming. There's just a tremendous amount of new food establishments and places to go and things to do opening here every single day. The brand new Sphere, which is this incredibly looking massive structure, is going to be basically a concert hall, and it's owned by Madison Square Garden Company. It's going to open soon. U2 is going to do two concerts there. They're going to have like one of the biggest IMAX type screens in the world. It's going to be just an entertainment venue to add down off the strip area, down in the convention center area. It's going to be fabulous. But there's also, of course, just hundreds of mom and pop restaurants opening all the time. And one of those restaurants that opened earlier this year was called Frank and Sons. Not Frankenstein, Frank and Sons. And it was a guy who had worked all of his career, but his dream had always been to open an Italian-style pizza, regular, you know, casual food, hamburgers, wings. He's got it all. Frank and Sons opened, and he got some loans and saved all of his money. Just a really normal blue collar guy, and he lived his dream and opened his restaurant. And by his accounts, basically spent every quarter he could borrow and get his hands on to do it. And the place opened. He didn't have revenue for marketing and advertising, and the business levels were extremely disappointing. And you know, he had a heartfelt post on social media where he said, you know, I've dreamed this all my life. I know I've got the right product. I know how good my restaurant is, but I'm probably going to have to close because we just don't have enough business coming in to make expenses and to keep it going, because it's the greatest, saddest thing in my life. So finally, in a real desperate attempt to try to get some attention for his restaurant, he got on TikTok. And I guess there's a number of guys that go around and review restaurants. Nobody had come forward to offer that to him. And Frank sent them a heartfelt message asking, and I think there was like a half a dozen of them, if somebody would come and just try his food and let people know if they found it as good as he believed it was. Let them know, you know, what the deal was there. And Frank and Sons was a place they should think about visiting. He got some responses, but of the three that replied initially, all of them said, well, you know, I don't do this for free. They were quoting him $2,000, $2,600, $3,000. If they'd come to his restaurant, they would come to his restaurant and write a review for that kind, because this is how they make their living. Finally, one guy who was pretty prominent in this particular field, a guy named Keith Lee, wrote to him and said, yeah, I'll come in randomly and try your restaurant. And Frank sent back, you know, well, what are you going to charge me? And he says, I don't think it's ethical to charge a restaurant for a review. He says, but let me just be brutally honest. If I don't like it, I'm going to say so, and I'm going to rate everything I try based on my 1 through 10 system. So there's no guarantees. I'm going to tell the absolute truth. And that's why the guy's got a pretty good following, because a lot of people are, you know, pretty dependent on him for his opinions. So he comes in on a weekday afternoon, a Monday, I think he said. And his pattern is to basically go up and order, you know, about one, just about everything on the menu. He got the garlic knots that are Frank, who considers his specialty, garlic knots, pizza, wings, He got a hamburger and French fries. I mean, he got some of everything. He spent, I think, said $80 on his order, and headed back to his table to sit down, where he sets up a camera. And this guy does reviews as he tries the food live. And you know, so he'll take a bite, he'll chew, and he'll look at the camera and go, "Oh, these, you know, this is really good. I'm going to give this a 7.8. He gives the rating as before he's even swallowed his food, which is really a kind of a unique approach. And it's very entertaining to watch. But he starts to get into to Frank's different delicacies, his pizza, his wings. And he takes a bite of the wing. He's, oh man, this might be the best wing I've ever tried. This is just out of this world. I give these a 10. And he goes on and he loves the pizza. He loves the garlic knots. He loved the hamburger. He did not like the fries. Just so you know, he's not some shill. He took a bite of the fry and goes, "Oh, that does nothing for me. There's no flavor there at all. I give that a 2. But at the end of the day, he said, "This restaurant is a family operation. The food is phenomenal. You really should give it a try. I give it my full recommendation." And on the way out, he actually introduced himself to Frank, the restaurateur, and told him that he had given it a very positive review. And one of the great things that I've heard in a long time, he posted it that afternoon. And by about 8 o'clock that evening, the volume at Frank and Sons had picked up considerably. And the next day, when the video basically had gone viral, there were people lined up outside trying to get in. And that was the pattern for the next couple of weeks. All the TV news stations came and covered it. This miracle that this guy who was about to close his doors and abandon his lifelong dream had a fortuitous visit from a food critic who absolutely loved his restaurant, and the rest is history. Clayton, my son, and I went there to experience it because I was going to tell you about it on this show. We didn't give it a 9.8, but we certainly enjoyed the experience. We love that kind of food, and the atmosphere was great, and just a wonderful success story at a time when we don't hear enough things like that. Frank and Sons, if you're in Vegas, give it a try. It's out in the Henderson area, suburb of town. It was a great experience for us, and I have been really uplifted since learning that story and wanted to tell it to you. We're out of time here on Need to Know. Hopefully we threw some nuggets of information that you can think about, and that's all we ask you to do here on this show is to give careful consideration to different thoughts and different ideas. Make decisions for yourself. Don't be a headline and soundbite person. Do your own thinking, reach your own conclusions. And if you do that, I have no problem with what those conclusions are, because that's what it means to be an American, having your own thoughts and your own ability to express and speak freely without fear of retribution, cancellation, and complete censorship. So God bless you all. God bless America. Enjoy being with you, and can't wait for next Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.